in the Bible, John 3:16. And I want to talk to you about that briefly this evening. Because Christmas is about gifts, isn't it? You've probably had secret Santas. And even those who have no idea about Christmas know at least one thing, that we're going to get some gifts, right? And the story of Christmas is based on the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth. And this verse, John 3:16, tells us of the first Christmas gift was God's gift to us. And if you can look at those handouts, I'm going to read that for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want to talk to you about four aspects of that gift. And the first thing that I want to mention is the motivation. This tells us that God was motivated by love. God's love for the world is seen here in this verse. God loved the world that He gave. It was a giving love. It was not a receiving love. Often we speak of love as the love that I get. But that's not really love. When I get affection, when I feel good, then I feel love. That's the way we think normally. But the Bible said God defines love. And God's love is an acting love. It is a giving love. It is a self-giving love. It is a sacrificial love. And Christmas should remind us, and the Bible speaks about this in volumes. If you want to know God, the Bible reveals a God who is love, who gives in His love, who is generous in His love, who abandons Himself in His love for the objects of His love. And He loved the world, it says. The Bible speaks of the world in not such kind terms. Of course, this is referring to us. God loved the world. The Bible speaks of the world as the realm which does not obey God. I don't know many of you might say you're good. You try to be good. How many of you would admit to that? You try to be good. Anybody? Anybody trying to be good? Or everybody is a wanted criminal here? Right? We all try to be good. But really, we try to be good in order to sometimes try to erase the fact that we are not good. When we stand before God, we are not good. There's a verse in the Bible that says, sin is lawlessness. When we sin, it's not just that we do wrong things and we do things with bad consequences. Sometimes we think of sin like that, don't we? That sin is bad because of its bad consequences in my life. Sin is bad because of the consequences in somebody else's life. But you know what the biggest consequence of sin is? It is lawlessness. And who makes the law but God Himself? If God does not exist, then law does not exist. Have you ever thought about that? There are many people who claim that God does not exist. Well, then in that case, there is no order to creation. There is no law in this land, in this world. But in fact, there is. We are born with a certain sense of order, aren't we? And the Bible says when we do wrong, the greatest thing is we break God's ordered law. And when you break law, you insult the lawgiver. How many of you are parents? Or how many of you are children? I'll ask that, we'll all put our hands up, right? If your parents tell you to do something strongly and you don't do it, is it just that you are breaking that commandment? No. You are disobeying them. You are insulting them. You are defaming them. You're saying, I don't care about you. That's why I will do what I want. That's what disobedience is. That's what law breaking is. And so we need to understand that as this verse says God loves the world, it's talking about the fact that God loves the very ones who are scandalous to Him, who disobey Him, who defame Him, who do not give Him the glory He deserves by obeying Him. How many of you can put up your hand honestly and say, I am perfect. I do everything right and God should be happy with me. I don't think if we are honest anybody could say that, could we? We are disobeyers of God. We are sinners. And that's some of the verses that you've heard even from the songs and the Bible readings. And that's the wonderful thing that this verse reveals. Yet, it says what? God does not hate. God loves that very world. When we think about our love, it is a love of expectations. It is a love of tutu meme, right? If I am attracted to you, I will love you. If you meet my expectations, I will love you. If you love me in return, I will love you. God does not love like that. God loved the world. So that's the motivation, wonderful motivation, His love. There's a second aspect to this verse. Look at that in your handouts. And that tells us the gift that He gave. How did God love the world? Secondly, there was a gift, a marvelous gift. He gave His own Son. Now there are various levels of giving. Christmas time is a time of giving, right? Churches are full. There's all kinds of celebrations. And many times you will find people even on the pavement or a beggar on the sidewalk. Maybe even today after we leave, somebody will know that we've had a Christmas celebration and they might have a beggar who will ask you for something. And you will maybe give that person something out of pity and compassion. Is that love? It's a form of love, but it's not really love. Because it doesn't pinch us at all. And we need to recognize that the love of God defines even giving. Giving in love is defined by God Himself. Because He doesn't give a little bit out of what He has for us. And remember what we said before. Who does He love? He loves people who are not, in a sense, beautiful. Many of you, maybe even in mornings, you wake up, some mornings you wake up in the mirror and you look at yourself and you don't like what you see. Well, God knows us through and through. And yet, He chooses to love us. Not in feelings, but in actions. And what is the action here? He gave His only Son. What this is really telling us is that God did not give His gift out of the things that we have, right? You had secret Santas. Did you look at your bank account and say, oh, I have a secret Santa. I'm going to empty my bank account and give it to this person who is my assignment. How many of you did that? Or even thought about doing that? Right? Never. Well, come on. But that's what God did. That's what God did. Because our need and our state in our sin is so great, He knew, because God knows all things, He knew that there was no other acceptable or reasonable or effective gift than giving everything so that we could be healed of our sin. God gave His own Son, His only Son, His only begotten Son, some versions of the Bible say. He gave everything for the object of His love. And maybe as I talk, you might ask yourself, why would God do this? Why would God love a sinner? If you find the answer to that question, come and let me know. Because that is yet to be revealed. He has chosen to do this. And He is glorified for doing this. So we have the motivation, which is love. We have the gift. He gave His only Son. And in fact, the giving of the Son of God, that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus came and was born. You might have even seen the manger scene, the little baby, right? But I like to remind our church that that was only for a moment. He didn't come to be a baby. He came to take on human flesh. God is not human. But Christmas tells us that in love, God took on human flesh. And what is something that is manifestly human, that is peculiar to humanity? We die. We are mortal. God took on mortality. Why? How many of you know why? Why would Jesus have become a mortal? Because of the cross. Christmas leads to what is another celebration, Easter. Jesus came as a baby, as a human being, in order to grow up and be a man who would die. He chose that. God chose that in coming to earth on the cross. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. How many of you are professionals, working professionals? You know what wages are. That's a word that makes us happy, isn't it? And we tend to think of religion differently than work. Work is different, religion is different, right? And so we think, just like when I work, I earn money. So, when it comes to God, I will work in my religiousness, in doing good. I maybe do religious things. Temple, church, mosque, whatever it is. Maybe I'll give my time to an NGO. Maybe I'll give charity to poor people. And we think that that means that we will earn standing or right to stand before God. But in fact, the Bible reveals to us how short-sighted that is, right? And it's good that God speaks to us because we think wrongly. I do all the time. Even the smartest among us, right? We think wrongly about our lives. We don't have all the answers. Because how could we ever claim to attain the standard of God Himself? God is perfect. God is absolutely holy. There is no sin in Him. And how can I think that by doing something, I will earn a standing before the perfect God? And in fact, as I said, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you think about earning, then what have we earned? We are sinners. All of us would admit. Maybe even today, maybe even just recently, thoughts and actions, whatever. We sin all the time. And the wages of sin is death. And God is just. Many people say this. Well, you just said, you might be thinking in your mind, right? Mr. Pastor, you just said God is love. Why are you speaking of Him so harshly now? Yes, I know I'm not perfect, but God is love. That's why He accepts me. But we need to think of God in a broader sense, because He's perfect in every aspect of who He is, right? A perfect being is perfect in every aspect. So just as He is loving perfectly, He also is kind perfectly and gracious perfectly and powerful perfectly, but He's also just perfectly. And so if He is just and I come with my sin before Him, what should He do? He should do what is just. When you go to a judge for justice, we've had a lot of judgments this week, haven't we? I don't know if you read the newspapers. And we cry out sometimes, right? What is going on with the justice system? We long for justice. God is perfectly just. Everything He does satisfies us in terms of justice. And so if we stand before God, even if we were to weigh our good and bad, He would say, but what about the sins that you have done? Suppose a criminal was to stand before a judge and say, yes, I know I've done a very bad thing. I killed somebody, for instance. But I promise you, judge, I will do 100 good things now. So let me go. What will the judge, if he's just, say? That's good. But what about the justice for the thing that you have done? This is how we need to think about our relationship before God. And that is why the story of Christmas is so vital and important. Because it says, God gave His own Son for us. And He came to die. Because God knows that for us the wages of sin is death. And we have sinned against Him. And there are only two options. That we die, or that He dies. And God cannot die. And that is why Christmas exists. God took on flesh. And He lived for 30 years. And then He died on a cross. The cross represents God dying in the place of sinners. So there's the motivation. There's the gift, which is God's own Son. And the reason I've already spoken about is the deadly curse of sin. We are guilty before God because of our sin. The wages of sin is death. But not only that, it leads to the detriment of our soul, isn't it? Sorrow. And sometimes we try to find ways to deal with our sin. We might find hobbies. I need some time pass, I need something to occupy my time. Or you might devote yourself to work and say, I'm just going to be a workaholic and I'm going to do well and I'm going to get money and I'm going to achieve something in life. You may be young and you think that's a road that will lead you to satisfaction. But you just have to look at history, look at the news and know that that's not going to make you happy. Because something has to be done about sin. Something has to be done about the burden of the soul. Something has to be done about reality. Because this life is what we have, but we will be answerable to God for this life that we have. The Bible says, it is destined for man to live once, and after that we will be answerable to God. And He will ask you, what have you done about your sin? You have the motivation, love. He loved the world. He gave His Son the gift. And the reason is because we are sinners. And He wants to forgive us for our sins. But the judge cannot just say it's okay, because that would be corruption on the judge's part. And in an offense, when somebody wrongs us or when we wrong somebody, there are two options. One is that the person who has done wrong makes right what is wrong. And we can never do that before God, because God is perfect. Or the option would be that we face judgment, which is a terrible thought. Or it could be that the one that has been offended says, I will take the offense on myself. And therefore, having taken it upon myself, I will forgive you. Right? Suppose somebody has stolen some money. The person from whom the money has been stolen will say, I'll take the loss on myself. I will suffer so that you can be forgiven. I will make the bank books even. And in a much greater sense, in the sense of our souls, this is what God has done for us. That is what Christmas is all about. What greater thing can I tell you than that there is freedom available for your guilt? There is rest available for your burden. There is joy available for your heart. That is why Jesus has come. But there's a fourth aspect here, if you look at this verse. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. There is also a response. If you want this gift, what's the response that this verse says? It says, whoever. I love that word. There is no condition on the response. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've not done. God says, whoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but whoever believes on Jesus, the Son of God, will not perish, but have everlasting life. What is belief? Everybody here knows what belief is. You know why? You're expressing belief right now. You're sitting on your chair. You're sitting on your chair. And I say this in my church, right? Some of you have expressed more belief than others. And I have to be careful where I look and who I look at, right? Because of your weight, right? You didn't just stand by your chair and say, I believe that this chair is strong enough to support me. You put your life at risk, your back at risk, your backside at risk, right? And you're sitting in it because you think, not just you think, you are trusting that this chair will hold you. That's an example, an illustration of what this is talking about. This is what faith is. Faith is not just, I accept all these things as true. I accept that God exists. I accept the realities of Christmas, that Jesus has come to earth and that He died on the cross. I accept. That's not belief. That is just religious acceptance. Belief or faith is when you rely on the things that you believe in. And so this is saying, the response is this. If you want the gift of Christmas, trust, rely on the one that God has sent for the forgiveness. You want forgiveness? You want joy? Then this is the answer that Jesus gives. Believe, trust in me, rest in me, and I will give you what you desire. You will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. God is your creator. But He is also the one, while we have wandered, who has sent His Son to bring us back and redeem us. There's a story about a little boy and his boat that represents this. The little boy made a boat out of wood. And he made it with a lot of care. It was a summer vacation. And he loved his boat. And he sang a song to his boat. He said, little boat, you are mine, because I have made you. And he ran out. There was a brook behind his house, a little stream. And he would play in the stream with his boat. And the current would carry the boat, and he would run and catch it and put it back. And that's what little boys do, right? One day, as he was playing, the current was a little bit too strong, and the boat got away from him. And he couldn't run fast enough to catch the boat before it was swept away by the current. And imagine the sorrow of that boy. He lost his boat, the one that he had made. And it was a few days, he was just full of sorrow because his toy was gone, the thing that he had invested so much in. And one day he was roaming in his town, walking down Main Street, and he saw a store that had antiques. You know what antiques are? Old things, an antique store. And as he walked by the window, he saw in the window was sitting a boat. And he looked carefully and he saw it was exactly his boat. And so obviously he ran into the store and he told the shopkeeper, right? Little boy screaming at the shopkeeper saying, "That's my boat, give me my boat back, you found it, you found it." And the shopkeeper said, "It's very well, all very well that you made the boat, then it's yours. You can have it, of course you can have it. But you're going to have to give me the money for it. This is an antique store." And so he was excited. He ran home. And all the pocket money that he had saved up summer, he went to his piggy bank, he broke the piggy bank and collected all that money. And he ran back to the shopkeeper and said, "Here you go, here's the money. Give me my boat." And the shopkeeper said, "You've paid for it, it's yours." Now imagine the boy's joy, right? And he took that boat and he ran to the stream and he was singing, little boat, you're twice mine. Once because I made you, twice because I bought you." That's the story of what Jesus has done. We are His. And in our sin, we have run away from Him. You only have to look at your own heart. You don't need to have a conversation with anybody, do you? But God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes, not tries to earn, but trusts in Him, will not perish, but have eternal life. Can I pray for you? I'm going to pray for you this evening. Thank you for coming. It's a joy to have you here. And let me pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for all who are here, including our guests who have come, who have given us the privilege of their time and attention, so that we can share the joy, the true freedom that Christmas brings. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, that your presence, your joy, your encouragement would be close to them. You know the needs of our hearts. Nobody does but you. And so meet the needs of everybody in this room, Lord. May that be the gift of Christmas, that Jesus, you show your joy to all who are here. We thank you for this time. Thank you for the joy that we share. Thank you for the fun that we can have even together. In Jesus' name, amen.